gospel lesson today is from Luke 9. Hear this word of the Lord for you. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and went up on the mountain to pray. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and they were talking about his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, Moses, and Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered this cloud. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one of any of the things they had seen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. To our hearts and minds we pray. Amen. So in our house, when Ed or Em ask me where to find something, I usually say, "It's right there. Just keep looking." The other day it was soap, and Ed was sure we had no soap. And I said, "It is there. Just look for it." Finally, I went in there to find it myself, and guess where it was? Right in front of him, literally. Still, right in front of him. Sound familiar? Sometimes we can't see things even when they are right in front of us. One pastor was writing about this passage and talking about growing up around foghorns. Well, when do you use a foghorn? It's when there's an arrival of a huge ship, a ship that you literally cannot see until it is almost ashore. And she asked, how could something so large utterly disappear or be so close and so absolutely invisible? We've had foggy weather, and I've been surprised to see how people drive in it. A little fast, either no lights, high beams. How are you supposed to drive in it? Slowly, carefully, low lights. And you have to pay attention to everything around you. That's what the story is about. It's about paying attention to all of the sights and sounds around us. It's also a story about finding that what you were looking for is actually right in front of you. These three disciples were followers of Jesus, and Peter has just declared that Jesus is the Messiah. But what they saw on the mountain was a new Jesus, with all of God's glory right there in front of them. You can imagine how overwhelming that would have been. And Luke mentions that the disciples are sleepy when they went up with Jesus to pray. You'll remember there's another time they go with Jesus to pray and get a little sleepy. Peter knows that what they're seeing is important, and so he wants to do what most of us want to do when you're experiencing something awesome and fantastic. He wants to keep it. Let's just build three huts for you guys. He wants to freeze frame it, which is never possible, right? The sights and sounds of the Transfiguration are amazing because Moses is there, the giver of the law. Elijah is there, one of the greatest prophets. And they're continuing this conversation among them that Jesus had just had with his disciples about going, being arrested, killed, and die. They're talking about his departure, which will happen in Jerusalem. After Jesus had told his disciples that, he said, "If anyone wants to follow me and become my disciple, they must take up a cross, deny themselves, and follow me." That was a difficult conversation, and it continues here so that hopefully they'll understand. But we have to wonder, when Jesus was talking about these things, did they really understand? We read it now, we know the whole story, But what did they understand then? This story is about paying attention. Paying attention because we absolutely never know when we might see Jesus in our lives. Some say we don't have these kind of visions or personal encounters today, but I disagree. How many of you have seen the glory of God? What about on a majestic mountain? What about in the tides of the ocean? What about in the green of a forest? What about in the smile of a new baby? We do see God. We see the glory of God if we pay attention. That's what they saw. The glory of God. That's the meaning of the dazzling white clothes and the shining face. It shows us that Jesus is God. Jesus is holy. The fact that Moses is up there is wonderful because this is where a lot of this began. Moses helped lead those people out of Egypt through the wilderness. They got the Ten Commandments. And then, as we heard, Moses' face was glowing after he went and met with God. It's also important that Elijah is there, one of the premier prophets who defeated the gods of Baal and who was constantly finding out that God would provide absolutely everything he needed. Both Moses and Elijah left their ministries by passing their mantle to the next guy. Moses hands it off to Joshua, who leads the people into the promised land. Elijah hands it off to Elisha, who continues as a prophet. And here's Jesus on this mountain with, you guessed it, his successors, Peter, James, and John, who will carry on his ministry. Jesus will even say that Peter is the rock on which the church is built. Jesus takes them up the mountain to the sacred experience so that they will know him, carry on his ministry. He knows that they know about him from his teaching and preaching and healing, but he wants them to know him, to know his power and his mission. That's what we need to know from the story too, his power, his mission. We need to know him so we can share him with the world. When I was reading this story and thinking about the disciples, I thought about events in our lives that make such an imprint upon our hearts and brains. Some sights and sounds do this, don't they? Aren't there some things that you've witnessed that changed you forever? Maybe it was the glory of God in nature or a child. But maybe it was the depth of human suffering on earth. Some things that we see and hear change us in unexpected ways. That's what happens with PTSD. The brain is changed so that it gets triggered to relive traumatic events of the past over and over and over again. So to a soldier, it's like he's still at war, on edge, hypervigilant, fighting, trying to stay alive. But the same is true of survivors of abuse, natural disasters, terror attacks, really any kind of trauma at all. Trauma changes us. And in order to heal from it and be changed in a positive way, we have to really reflect on it. We have to work through it, talk about it, learn from it. This is what I do as a fire chaplain with the firefighters. I've been trained to debrief them. Because traumatic events mean that we should remember, discuss, and explore what happened so that healing can happen. And the first responders can ultimately find some lessons and good out of a horrible experience. Without this type of debrief, the statistics show high levels of depression, addiction, and suicide for first responders. There are lots of extraordinary things that we see and hear that leave a lasting imprint. Can you think of any, whether they be wonderful or heartbreaking in your life? I sure can. Ideally, we spend time reflecting on those experiences, sharing them with others, thinking about what we've learned so that we can grow. Move forward. This is how God uses it to change and transform us. I think this is one of the roles of the body of Christ. We're supposed to be the safe place, the safe people, where others can debrief life. I have seen the power of this kind of healing dozens of times over the years. When we live the ups and downs of life together and we look at it together, we grow. Maybe this is why Jesus took three of them up on the mountain, so that they would have to deal with this together. The Bible says they didn't talk about it until later, but we know that they talked about it. Not only among themselves, but with a lot of people, because we have this story in the Gospels. Multiple times, this is repeated with almost identical detail. Think about your life for a moment. What have you seen that you can't unsee? What have you heard that you can't unhear? I can still see the eyes of my first child, Jacob, at birth like it was yesterday. He seemed to be like really looking at me, through me, into my life. It changed me forever. I can still see the faces of so many people that I have stood right beside as they went from this life to eternal life. I also have things I cannot unhear. I still hear the first time Ed said, "I love you." And the time my daughter bravely came out to me. I can't unhear some bad things too. The eerie silence of a young mom holding the hand of her son after the doctors did everything to revive him and he was gone. I didn't know that hospital rooms could ever be that quiet. Or the heartbreaking screams of a grandmother who turned away just for a minute from her 2-year-old grandson, who then wandered into the pond and drowned. I can't unhear the sobs of my family when we thought we were losing Dad and we all gathered to say goodbye. What have you witnessed that you can't unsee or unhear? How has it changed you? And how have you let God use it to change you? These things that stay with us forever, they can change and transform us for good if we allow God to help us work through it. I think this is the power of Isaiah 43 when it says the Lord walks with us through the waters and fires of life. That's more important than just saying God is with you. Because that's saying God is with you through all the horrible. God is with you through all of the hard, strange, life-changing experiences that you will ever encounter. And God is the one who enables us to see new things in a new light with a new perspective. That's what happened in the Transfiguration. They saw Jesus in a new light, from a new perspective. When have you seen something ordinary in a new light, a new perspective? Have you ever seen a loved one get up and do something that you had no idea they knew how to do? Surprising. You see them in a different way. There's a great story called The Rabbi's Gift, and it's about a famous monastery which once had been full of monks and visitors but fell on some really dry spiritual years. At last, there were only a handful of elderly monks praying, working, studying with heavy hearts. The only time their spirits were lifted is when they heard that the rabbi was out walking in the woods. Because in the woods, near the monastery, was a little hut that was his retreat house, and he would go there to fast and to pray. And when they knew that he went there to fast and pray, they felt uplifted, supported by his prayer. One day, the abbot of the monastery knew that the rabbi was in the hut, and he decided to go see him. When he got there, the rabbi was in the front door doing this, arms outstretched as if he expected the abbot, who had not told anyone he was going. They greeted one another, they went inside, sat down at the table. There was scripture open. They prayed together. And then this abbot began to weep, and he poured out his heart about his care and concern for the monastery and the monks and how bad things were. And finally the rabbi said, "You need a teaching from me, and I have one for you. It is a teaching that I will say once and never repeat. When you share this teaching with the monks, say it once, never repeat it. The teaching is this, so listen carefully. The Messiah is among you." The abbot got up and thanked the rabbi. He immediately went to the monastery, sat them down, and said, "Listen carefully. I will tell you the teaching only once. The teaching is this: one of us is the Messiah." It wasn't exactly what the rabbi had said, but it was miraculous, because all of these monks started to look at each other in a new light. I wonder if Brother John is the Messiah. Maybe it's Father James. Could that be my calling? In the days to come, as they went about their work and prayer and study, they began to show real love for each other, real respect for each other. They were constantly wondering, who is it? They had this sense of expectation, and soon the word spread everywhere about this monastery and their love, their compassion, and their expectation about seeing God. What if we had that? What if we looked for Jesus by paying close attention to everything we encounter, the good, the bad? Wouldn't we see things in a new light, from a new perspective? And wouldn't we start to see each other in a new way? And what if we took it further and we relied on each other? We shared our lives and experiences with each other. We talked about it together. We prayed about it together. And we learned together from our lives. Wouldn't we be transformed, transfigured too? That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus is all around us if we pay attention. He's in the good times and the bad. And he's willing to help us grow and learn and find meaning in all of it. And to that, God's people said, Amen. Amen. Today we have the joy of